Chapter 25, Ever After. July 2014. Just be in the moment, I told myself the morning of the ceremony. Be here, be present. I woke in our cottage at San Ysidro Ranch and looked out at a garden of roses. I had chosen this place to start our marriage because it felt like our first home. Everywhere you looked, there were flowers or ivy climbing a wall, as if a good witch had spun around, raising a collection of enchanted cottages from the earth. For a while, I had been blocked on what I wanted my wedding to be. I didn't want it to be the opposite of my first wedding, but it had to reflect who I was. I found myself going back to the book I loved, Great Expectations, and its 1998 film adaptation. The movie captured what I loved about the book, a delicate beauty that's been worn and softened with the passing of time. Eric, always moving if he was not perfectly still in meditation, was already outside welcoming the day. Carol was looking after our kids in her cottage. They adored her and called her Cece. This was the slight calm before the storm of the day, probably the last minutes I would have alone. I had spent 6 months planning every detail for this wedding weekend for 275 guests. I let myself get too stressed about it. It was the wrapping paper thing I do, where I overthink how I package a gift for someone when they're only going to tear through it to get to what matters. I overworked myself on every detail, but Eric and I did really want this wedding to be for our friends. It was a thank you and a love letter in one, a hug back for the support they'd given us in love and in parenting. This was as much about them as it was about us. In many ways, this was an opportunity to have the family I grew up with back together. I asked my father to officiate the wedding, and my mother and Ashley were both my maids of honor. My parents had trouble being in the same room, and now I was going to make them stand next to each other up there with Ashley just so I could look at them. My father called me 3 days before we left for the wedding to tell me he was bringing his friend Jonathan, a young model he often shot for his new photography business. He wasn't on the list, I said. There was a pause. I reminded myself I needed to accept my father for who he was as he worked it out in real time. Okay, I said. I wasn't sure how to handle my father now, so I worked with the information he was ready to give me. Maybe I wasn't ready to listen, I don't know. My mother was bringing someone too. Her own John, the landscaper who had made my Hansel and Gretel cottage so beautiful. He was kind and treated her well. People move on, even if I couldn't. Dad, whatever you do, don't forget your Bible, I said. I want your Bible there, the one you preached with. We set the wedding for July 5th, with everyone arriving July 3rd to have some time to spend with close family. We booked all of San Ysidro Ranch for our guest, wanting it to be private and special for everybody. On Independence Day, we hosted a Texas-style barbecue for the guests. Eric's grandparents were able to come, and we were able to let them stay in the Kennedy Cottage, where then-Senator John F. Kennedy and Jacqueline Kennedy stayed on their honeymoon. Eric idolized his grandfather and molded his strong masculine presence on him and his dad, Stephen. I wasn't alone long that morning. My mother led a team of fairy-like bridesmaids to fetch me and start the preparation process. Carolina Herrera had made me a champagne-colored gown with gold embroidery, and I gasped when I saw it hung in a window, backlit next to the little one she made for Maxwell. She was my flower girl, and Ace would be a ring-bearer, along with Ashley Sunbronx. I didn't want to wear straight white, but I couldn't help but want a princess dress that flared. A bit of Texas and San Ysidro fairyland. My stylist, Nicole Chavez, and I spent months picking out gowns, gauzy shades of the lightest blue, lavender, and green, for my 12 bridesmaids. We'd look on all the runways and ask nicely if we could maybe borrow a dress. It was like high school when I would help the girls get ready for a party. I worked with all of them to choose how they wanted their hair for the day. I wanted every one of my girlfriends to feel their most beautiful. I saw my dad right before the ceremony, holding an iPad outside the chapel we'd built for the day. He'd forgotten his Bible. His iPad was about to die, and he would just have to wing it. "Jessica, it's okay," I told myself. Maybe that's what we all needed to learn how to do better, to wing it. I'd put a lot of pressure on my father to be the man I knew in Dallas. I wanted him to move people through his words. And yes, I wanted people to think that he was okay, that our family was okay. But there was a time when I was figuring out who I was, and now it was his turn. Wing it, Jessica. To begin the ceremony, I had an 18-piece orchestra playing selections from the score of Great Expectations. Yes, I know that's a lot, but you should know by now I don't do things halfway. Once the procession started, the kids received standing ovations. Ace was unsure at first, but then Eric crouched down low to stretch out his arms. He went right to Eric. When it was my moment to walk down the aisle, the orchestra began the song, "The Day All My Dreams Came True." It plays in the movie when the hero, after going through so much, is finally happy. The song couldn't have been a more perfect choice. But here in this moment, I told myself, through the lace of my veil, I saw my family all together and my loved ones all waiting for me, framed by gorgeous hanging greens and flowers. But Eric, there was a look of uncertainty on his face that he couldn't hide. It was the pull of a smile. He could fool everyone else, but not me. Oh gosh, does he not like my dress? I left it. "Be here, Jess." My father did a wonderful job. People were crying and he talked. I glanced at Ashley and my mom. Here we were, all grown up together, each forming our own path. When my dad pronounced us husband and wife, a big cheer went up. I could hear Maxie and Ace's voices among them. "Babe," Eric whispered. I split my pants completely when I grabbed Ace. "I knew something was wrong," I yelled, then whispered, "Let me see." Sure enough, his tuxedo pants were split from his crotch to the top of his butt. The whole time he wasn't sure if people were seeing his underwear. Once everybody was gone, we went behind a curtain. He took his pants off. We had a seamstress come and sew them while he stood in his boxers. People were waiting for us, and I know there was a lot of, "Where are they?" Someone piped up with, "Well, Jessica's definitely had sex, so it's not for that." Once we were introduced as Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, it was like the lid was lifted off the wedding. Eric did a speech greeting everyone and spoke about his grandfather and his pledge to take care of me and the kids forever, just as his grandfather had done for his wife and family. It was so sweet and emotional. Then I could just relax. Eric and I didn't want to do a lot of the party-stopping traditional things like a first dance or cutting up the cake. We wanted everybody to have a blast. We had a huge band with 7 different singers, and there was a moment when the 4 of us were holding hands on the dance floor. I don't remember the song, but I remember the weight of Ace in my arms, the twirl of Maxwell's dress, and the sureness of Eric. "Hi, husband," I said. "Hi, wife," he said. That never got old. 4 years and 2 babies in, we were husband and wife. I had a running joke. "I want to get married, but I keep getting pregnant." But the truth is that it made perfect sense that we were all together to share our wedding day. I wouldn't have had it any other way.